Now, I'm going to tell you right now, one time in my life when the Spirit of God came up on me, and I don't remember what happened. I was down in Louisiana preaching at a little church. And when the service was over, I give an invitation for healing. And there was a grandmother got up from back over yonder, come running down the aisle, and she was shaking like this. She had Parkinson's. Her testimony's back there on Testimonies of Miraculous Healing. She come running down there, and I laid my hand on her shoulder and said, in the name of Jesus, and the King instantly healed that woman. She came solid as a rock. And when it happened, and he did it in such a wonderful way, I thought, oh my goodness, the gift of miracles has come upon me. I thought, oh Lord, I looked over here at this man sitting over here with those steel braces on his legs. I ran over and I said, sir, what happened to you? He said, well, 21 months ago, a big tree we were cutting fell across a tractor I was driving and crushed both of my legs. The doctors told me after they'd done all kinds of surgeries and put pins and plates and screws and bolts and everything else in my legs, they said, I will never walk again. I said, but Jesus said in John 14:13-14, I can ask the King for anything and he'll do it. Do you believe that? He said, sir, I'm a Southern Baptist. If it's written in that book, I believe it. I said, that's the kind of faith God's looking for. And I laid my hands on his knees and asked the Father in Jesus' name to give this man two new knees. And all of a sudden, the man took the steel off and stood up and began to run around the church, totally, completely healed. And then the part right there, that's the last thing I remember. When we went down to pick up Norma and Johnny to make their testimony out at GLC on television, Norma asked me the question. She said, where is the little guy that was in the wheelchair you prayed for after you prayed for Johnny? I said, the little guy in the wheelchair? She said, don't tell me you don't remember that. I said, no, Norma, I don't even know what you're talking about. She said, there was a little woman, a little petite woman, brought her husband in on a wheelchair, and he was almost having to lay out completely straight. He couldn't hardly move anything, and said, after you prayed for Johnny, you jumped up and ran over and jumped right in the middle of him, put your hands on his chest and screamed, be healed in the name of Jesus. And said, so the man jumped up off the wheelchair and began to run around the church and ran outside. I said, I don't remember that. And to this day, I don't remember that. But yet everybody was there, saw it besides me. How could something like that happen? Is that what you call really dying to self and letting Jesus live through you? Yes. Now just think, what if we could die to self all the time? What would God be able to do through us? That's right. Anything and everything. There is absolutely no limitation. So it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, what kind of limitations do you have? None. That's right. But the Spirit of God came upon this man for a prophetic utterance. His name was Jezreel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says, do not be afraid. Wow. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Oh, I love it, don't you? I like it already when the battle is God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jezreel. But you will not even need to fight. This is my kind of battle. You will not even need to fight. I don't even have to take my gun with me this time. I don't have to take my sword or nothing else. It says, you take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Why was God with them? What had they been doing? Fasting, praying, and the king and all the people were coming to Jerusalem to seek the Lord. And did God show up? Obviously, he's showing up. Yes, he loves it when we seek him. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. When's the last time you thought you'd ever see the men in Washington like this on their face before God? You know, I took a week off here a while back, and I went to Washington, D.C., and every day for a week, I walked into several different congressmen's and senators' office. And when I went in, either their aide or whoever was there, how can we help you, sir? I said, I come to repent. Every one of them, I told them the same thing. I said, I come to repent. They said, what do you mean? I said, God said his word. I'm supposed to pray for the leaders of this country, those in power, so we can live in peace. I said, if we are not in peace, there's no peace for years in this country. And so I come to repent for not doing what God told me to do. Now, since I didn't do it before, I've come to Washington, D.C. to get on my face right here in this office and pray and ask God to light your fire, to show you what's wrong, to give you the knowledge and wisdom we need so this nation can be ruled by some God-fearing men. And do you know, not one single office turned me down. Not one single office. Everyone, in fact, when I was in Senator Cronin's office, one of our Texas senators, one of the boys said, well, it's a good thing Senator Cronin's not here, because if he was, he'd be down on that floor with you. He said, that man's a praying man. I thought, well, praise God. That's good to know, isn't it? Yeah, that young man, he said, Senator Cronin is a great man of God. He loves the Lord with all his heart. I thought, well, we need a bunch of them like him up there, do we not? Yes, praise the Lord. Wow. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed down and he worshiped the Lord. Then the Levites from the clan of Korah and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Now, what's these people going out to do? What are they doing? They stood and praising the Lord. You want to know why me and Eldon raised our hands and praised the Lord? Because we learned that from God's Word. We need to praise Him. It says, early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Teoka. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. After consulting the leaders of the temple, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sing. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. I was amazed, you know, that for the years that I was in church, a Baptist church, and nobody ever raised their hand. So I didn't know until one day as I began to read the scriptures for myself, I found many places in God's Word where He tells me to raise my hands. So I can remember when I come under such conviction, I was always the last one in because my Sunday school class was the longest one. And so I was always the last one in to the Baptist church. And there was only a few seats left and they're always on the front one or two rows. Nobody sat on the front row. Everybody started to back and come forward. I would be at the front. And as the Lord would convict me, finally one day I got to the point where I could do this. You notice I kind of got it between me and them. The Lord just kept convicting me. Are you ashamed of me? Oh, okay, Lord. So I'll put it out to the side and I'll raise it about this high. And then finally he convicted me. I need to raise both of them. And so I raised both of them. And then finally one day he just told me, he said, son, are you ashamed of me? Are you ashamed of me or what? I said, no, Lord. He said, well, then raise your hands. So I just raised my hands. And I started every Sunday. Now I became one of those crazy guys that holds his hands up when we worship and praise. And then that day I met the lady up in the post office. Oh, hi, Mr. Scribner. How are you doing? I said, young lady, I don't believe I had the privilege to meet you. I said, where do I know you from? She said, the Baptist church. I said, ma'am, I go to Baptist church, but I don't ever remember seeing you. Well, she said, my 10-year-old son and I, we come to the church every Sunday, but we sit way over on this side. You nearly always sit on that side on the right at the front. I said, you even know where I sat? She said, oh, yeah, we see you every Sunday. I said, why? Why do you notice me? She said, here a while back, my son was standing beside me. He said, Mom, what's wrong with that man over yonder? And she said, what do you mean? She said, well, every time we sing, he raises both hands. So what's wrong with him? Nobody else does. She said, I only could think of one answer. I said, son, maybe he just loves Jesus more than the rest of us. And so she said, we started to sing another song, and I felt these little hands come up beside me. And I looked down, and my little son was standing beside me with both hands raised. I thought, wow, is those little ones watching us? Yeah, should we be an example to them? Yeah, should we be ashamed of our God? No, not at all. I mean, I had a lady that got healed in the Baptist church many years ago, and her husband, he was a PhD from a Lutheran seminary. I didn't know that until later. And when I got her healed of all of her medication problems and everything she had wrong with her, that woman, she wanted to sing in the choir, and so they let her. And, of course, she was just on fire because she'd been healed by Jesus. She loved him, and she wanted to express it. So she'd get up there, and she'd sing and hold her one hand up in the air, praise in the Lord. And the pastor of the church asked her to stop. And she says, no, I cannot stop doing that. I have to praise my Lord. He healed me. And so he said, well, if y'all can't do what I ask you, then you're going to have to leave the church. And so they left the church. They come to me and said, Thurman, we don't want to leave. We want to stay here so we can stay in your class. But said, Pastor asked us to leave because we hold our hands up when we praise. Maybe somewhere along the line, God will give him that revelation and he will repent. This is what they sing. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures. His love endures forever. At the moment they began to sing. You notice when? At the moment they began to sing and give praise. Look what happened. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. At the moment they began to praise. It's just like they walked up on the mountain up there with their machine guns and started cutting them down. Only it's much better. Yeah. Just look at this. When these things happen, at the moment they begin to sing. And I thought, I am sure that the moment that Eldon and I both raised our hands and started praising the Lord for taking Cheryl's bridge off, he started working on it. I mean, while we were praising, he dropped that thing off in her mouth. She run in after it dropped off. She run in and tell David and Yeshua, and she come back, and all that took her a couple of minutes. So here we are. We are starting to worship and praise. And the Lord said, that's good. And he knocked that thing off right there. We had praised for 10 or 15 minutes before we got the message. And I mean, we hadn't hardly stopped praising till my phone rang. And as soon as Eldon heard what happened, he said, let me get my cell phone turned on. I got to call Nancy and tell her what the Lord just did. Is that right, Eldon? He said, I got to call my wife and tell her what God just done for us right here. Because at the moment we started to praise, what did God start doing? He started working. That's exactly right. At the moment they begin to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir, and they killed every one of them. After they had finished off the army of Seir, they turned on each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, there was dead bodies lying on the ground, for as far as they could see, not a single one of the enemy had escaped. God does a good job when he fights the battle, doesn't he, brother? You don't have to worry about your enemies.
You've been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop right here for today, but we will return in our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled, You Are the Problem, Not God, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.